Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his choke cord. But it's no host bar, middle finger like a stone cold. How's it going, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We're back with another episode of the Slappin' Mead Wrestling Podcast. This is the Friday show, or my solo show that sometimes isn't always on a Friday, but mostly is. But that's a long title, right? Anyway, today we got a lot to go over. As everyone knows, last week we sort of changed the way I wanted to try something now, and I'm going to be honest with you, that pop culture stuff, I'm just not into that, right? I didn't really have anything I really wanted to talk about in that, so we're going to remove that, but we're still going to make this a little bit less focused on just wrestling. We're going to add some other elements to it. So we're going to do a fast food bracket, as well as talking about overrated fast food places. We got some sports stuff I mentioned on Tuesday's episode when me and Wavy D were starting to talk a little bit about the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight, that I had some analysis that I wanted to save to this show about Jake Paul. I'm going to do my NFL predictions like I normally do. I should have kept count. Actually, because I did my pick-ems on Yahoo Fantasy Football, and we just went through that app. Let's go through last week, and I did not do good at all. I got 8 matchups correct out of, I mean, that's good, I guess. How many did I get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrong. But who would have picked the Titans to beat the Vikings? Or excuse me, why did I pick the Titans to beat the Vikings? Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, we'll go through my predictions in the NFL, and then at the very end, I'm going to put the wrestling conversation at the end of each episode now on Friday, because I know that's what a lot of people come here for, right? But I want you guys to stay around for the other conversation. Get involved, right? And with that, the link to the Junkyard Media Group Discord page in the description, as well as our affiliate links through Expedia and the WWE shop, where you can go get your cool merch. It's Christmas time. Black Friday's next Friday, and Cyber Monday's the Monday following that, right? So speaking of next Friday, because my company that I work for so graciously decided that the only day I get off next week is Thanksgiving, there will be no Friday show next week. We'll get our Tuesday episode, which will be the predictions for Survivor Series War Games, and then that's going to be the only episode next week, because I do got to work on Friday, and I'm not going to take the only day off next week, which is Thanksgiving. I'll have people here, so we will be off next Thursday, no second episode, just the Tuesday episode. With that being stated, let's dive on in to the fast food conversation. There was a ranker. I don't have it pulled up. But that was sort of like ranking like top fast food restaurants, right? And I'm going to not really recreate that, but I'm going to just name a couple of things that I think are overrated in the fast food sphere. So we'll start with, and this will come very apparent when we do this bracket. There's a couple on here that I think are a little bit overrated. So what we're actually going to do, because I had this whole thing planned, but then we're actually going to do this bracket. Now, we're just going to transition into this bracket. What this bracket is, so I think it was Monday or Tuesday this week, was like International Fast Food Day or something like that, right? And FanDuel created a bracket and wanted to see people's responses, right? Now, what I've done is I've recreated this bracket, but there are two fast food places on their bracket that, you know, they wanted to create a sort of national known named, you know, stuff, right? But they have what I would call two regional restaurants on here. They had In-N-Out and they had Whataburger. Now, nothing, I've never tried it, so I can't say whether it's good or bad, right? But those are regional fast food restaurants that are known, you know, In-N-Out California, the West Coast, and then Whataburger in Texas, right? Now, they just opened a Whataburger here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is about maybe 2-3 hours away from me. I could go try it, but I'm not driving 3 hours for no reason. Like, I'm going to need a reason to go to Spartanburg, right? And if it's as good as the last Texas implant that South Carolina got, which was Buc-ee's, then, you know, I'll probably be in Spartanburg all the time, right? But so what I did with that bracket, I'm going to pull it up on the screen. So Whataburger was the 16th seed and In-N-Out was like the third seed. What I did was I replaced those two regionals with something that would be more considered a regional, two regional restaurants to the Southeast, right? And so we're going to talk about, I replaced Whataburger with a restaurant here in North Carolina known as Cookout. And then I replaced In-N-Out with Zaxby's. Right now, every other restaurant on here is the original restaurant and the original matchups for the original FanDuel bracket. Now, we'll go through the bracket here, right? We'll go through this bracket. But I want to just talk about individually some of the restaurants on here, right? So when I mentioned like overrated fast food, Chick-fil-A's that mark right there, right? Chick-fil-A is to me the definition of overrated fast food. They don't do the chicken sandwich the best. They don't do the fries the best. They don't, it's just mid chicken. And see what I think happened, and this may offend some people, but that's is what it is. Chick-fil-A, what they've done was they've convinced white women that it's the greatest food on the planet. And white women, without a doubt, are the loudest people in social media spheres, right? And they've done very good at marketing, and they've done, you know, within the sort of, you know, white evangelical, you know, Christian base, like, you know, you can't talk bad about the Chick-fil-A. That's the Lord's chicken, right? When, you know, but you know, other place, Popeyes is on this list. I'm not a fan of Popeyes either, right? KFC's on this list. Not a fan of KFC, right? I'm very particular with my chicken. Chicken's my favorite meat, right? I could go without beef. I can be honest with you, right? Chicken is my favorite meat. It's the easiest to prep. It's the most dangerous if you don't cook it all the way, right? With like a hamburger, if you don't, you know, you don't have to cook it all the way to where there's no pink in beef, right? Because you won't necessarily, with chicken, you'll die, right? But let's talk about some other places here. So like Panda Express is on here. Now we'll talk about Panda in a second, right? When we get to that side of the bracket, we'll break down. Right, but is Panda fast food? Like, I know that there's a drive-through and it's not like full casual sit down, right? I feel like FanDuel could have picked some better like fast food places. Like, there's no Jack in the Box on this list. There's no you know, you got the big three burger places, and I see what they try to do, but like they try to do like pizza. Is Domino's pizza like fast food? And if so, why wouldn't you put another pizza place on here? Like you're out here making it like Domino's is the greatest pizza in that sort of fast pizza world, when it's far from that case, right? So we'll actually start with that matchup on the bracket. Domino's versus Subway. Right now, this is the battle of mid, right? The battle of mid in their respective sector, right? So Domino's is the worst, well, I would call fast pizza, right? The worst. Without a doubt, the worst, right? So if I had to rank pizza, Little Caesars is at the top. And I know there's a lot of people who, like, especially like people that I hang around. Look, you know, Little Caesars, like, oh no, that's awful. Okay, they changed the recipe at some point in the last 10 years that you guys are remembering. It's so good, right? And it's fast. You can order it. You'll have it in that little machine. I don't even have to talk to nobody anymore to pick it up. Like that's a plus for me. I can just put in my little code. It's in the little warmer. It's cheap. Little Caesars is, right? Papa John's is number two, right? Papa John's is number two. Number three is, for me, I don't know if y'all have Marco's Pizza. I know it's fast food, but I don't know if it's like everywhere. Marco's Pizza is number three. Then it's Pizza Hut. Then it's Domino's, and I feel like I'm forgetting one. Little Caesars, Domino's, Marco's, Pizza Hut. I feel like I'm forgetting one. But I will also say this. I would eat gas station pizza over Domino's. I would. Right? I would go to QT Quick Trip. Not the Midwest Quick Trip with a K, but you know, the Tulsa, Oklahoma headquartered QT Quick Trip. Their pizza, fantastic. By the way, y'all didn't know that. If you got a QT near you, they got a limited edition, limited time only brisket pizza. Whew. Boy, that's good. I would eat QT before. I would eat Hunt Brothers before I eat Domino's. Hunt Brothers is an experience in itself, right? But then we got Subway. By the way, I'm deeply analyzing this, right? This is, right? We got Subway, which is not even the best in its category, right? The best in its category is on the other side of the bracket. That's Jersey Mike's. But I would also put Jimmy John's up there as sort of like a close second, right? Subway is probably going to be third because depends on how you feel about Firehouse. I'm not a big fan of Firehouse subs. Here's why. First off, I don't like that the meat just sits in like those little container. It basically is like steamed meat. I'm not a big fan of that. I also don't like deli meat that's hot. So that's just me, right? I feel so. In the way that Jimmy John's offers you only cold subs, which could be a problem to some, because you know every now and then you might want a cheesesteak or a Philly. But if that's what you're craving, don't go to Jimmy John's, right? But I feel like Firehouse is the other extreme where like everything's just hot, and I'm not a big fan of like hot deli meat on a sandwich. I'm just not. So Firehouse to me is at the very bottom of this list. I don't think Firehouse does anything right. Plus the employees are rude. The last time I went to Firehouse, this ghetto ass motherfucker was just rude as shit. No one changed gloves. I'm a former fast food manager, so I know what I look for, right? It's sort of like when you've played a sport and then you go and watch that sport, you look for the little things that other people don't look for. Well, when I go into fast food restaurants, I look for certain things. Because I used to manage fast food restaurants, and I know what the health inspector looks for, so that's what I look for, right? You know, but Firehouse has, like, in their freestyle machine, like, a special, like, lime drink, but you're supposed to have the limes on the side to put in the drink to give it the lime flavor, right? Well, they didn't have any limes. And I asked him, hey, can you cut me a lime so I could put it in my drink? And he's like, no, man, we don't do that no more. The fuck you mean you don't do that no more? Right? So Firehouse, you can go, as far as I care, you can go fuck yourself. Right? But so Subway's sort of like third in their sector. So you got like the battle of mids over here, right? And so I'm okay with Subway. I can occasionally go to Subway and be okay with a Subway sub, right? I don't like how Subway is now offering like a 6-inch for $6.99 combo. Bro, you used to give me a foot long for $5. I can get the chips and the drink somewhere else, right? Don't act like you're doing me a favor with this $6.99 combo, right? But anyway, Subway is going to, after that long dissertation, Subway is going to get the first pass to the next round. Now we got Popeyes. And what on the FanDuel bracket would be In-N-Out, but I've never had In-N-Out, right? So I don't think it's fair for me to immediately judge In-N-Out if I don't have it, right? Same thing with Whataburger in the next sector, right? So I replaced In-N-Out with Zaxby's. Now, this is an interesting battle because when I said I was a manager, right? Well, there's two restaurants on this that I've managed, right? Zaxby's and Culver's, right? If you count the one day I worked at Taco Bell, well, we can say I have experience at Taco Bell, but that's a whole story for itself, right? But I've managed a Culver's and a Zaxby's, right? Several Zaxby's, and right? And so I know Zaxby's. Now, Zaxby's has, in the last, since I've left the company in 2020, which is a fun story in itself. I'm probably the only person in the world who has ever been fired from a job on 421 for not being high. But that's a whole different reason. That's some bullshit, but that's a whole different story. I have a special love for Zaxby's, right? But they've changed some things since I left. And one of the things that they've changed is they took my favorite sandwich off the menu, and they've done a bigger focus on they've done a bigger focus on because the wings are their most popular. So for those who don't have Zaxby's, right? For those, you know, I know like Wavy D's up in the Northeast, he doesn't have the brilliance that is known as Zaxby's. I know Mike, if he's watching, he's up in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and he doesn't have the brilliance known as Zaxby's. I know Kara's out west; she doesn't have Zaxby's, right? I know, and so for those who don't have Zaxby's, right? So I contemplated doing Zaxby's or Bojangles in this spot. Bojangles probably would have, you know, that would have been a better battle because they're both the same type of restaurant, but ultimately to me, I like Zaxby's better because of the wide array of their menu, right? And so they do chicken sandwiches, salads, chicken wings, chicken strips, think Raisin Cane's with chicken wings, right? And so that probably would have been a better restaurant to put on here, though to be fair, I talk about Chick-fil-A being overrated. To me, Raisin Cane's is highly overrated. Now, let me tell you my Raisin Cane story real quick, and then we'll continue with this bracket, right? So, when I wanted to try Raisin Cane's, right? Because I saw it was on TikTok, but the issue was, in my area, when I Googled where's the closest Raisin Cane's, they're all on college campuses. Now, I don't know about you. I just find it very, like, weird and uncomfortable for me to have to drive to a college campus. Like, the closest one to me would have been Clemson University. But it's in, like, their student center, right? So some of them are, like, so, like, the one I ended up going to, and I'll tell you that story in a minute, it's on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. But it's not, like, in any of the student buildings. It is, like, just along the road in Chapel Hill on the campus. And so, like, for example, so I got excited. Last year I was going to Nashville in August to go watch my Patriots play the Titans in a preseason game. We absolutely got our ass destroyed. So I was already I was grumpy. So I was going home and I was like, I'm going to Canes. I'm going to find a Canes and I'm going to go to it. Well, I find one in Knoxville. That's about halfway from, you know, that's about 2 hours away from Nashville. I'll be on the road. By the time I get there, it'll be lunchtime. I'll be ready for fried chicken. And so I click, all right, let's go there. Directions take me there, right? So I get there, and it's on the campus of University of Tennessee. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's weird that a non-student is, you know, especially someone who's like 28, 29 years, well, I'm not that, I'm 27, but so at the time I was 26, right? So either A, I think the optics looked weird. So I just went home, didn't get chicken, was a little bit upset. Patriots lost, couldn't get Canes, right? It's more of a self thing. I was sort of self-conscious, you know, I just think it's weird. The 26-year-old is on campus where there's, you know, 18, 19-year-olds. They were doing some party. It was busy. The main roads were busy as shit going in and out of that campus. And I just said, screw it. I'm going home. I'll find, you know, I'll go to Buc-ee's on the way because there's a Buc-ee's in Sevierville, which is about, you know, 10 minutes from the North Carolina state line. I'll just go there. Right. So anyway, I finally found the Canes. It opened in Chapel Hill. I was like, okay, I know it's on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. That's fine. We're just going to go up there, right? Didn't realize I was going to have to pay for parking. Didn't, right? And then I waited in line. It was opening week end. So, like, they open on Monday. I went on a Friday. I figured people would have had their fix by then. Boy, was I wrong. Had to pay for parking on the campus, which was crazy as shit. You know, so here's my plea to Canes. Here's why you're overrated. One, there's not enough of you in my area for me to consider a 3.5 hour ride there and a 3.5 hour ride back worth the chicken that I got. Plus, I had to pay for parking, right? So, for some mid-ass chicken, right? So, Canes, you know, you're okay. But with the overall experience, just, you know, can you build like standalone restaurants off of college campuses? I know there's some, and I know there's probably more out west in the Midwest, right? But you know, whew, boy, I get your market strategy of trying to be near where the college kids are. But can you build some standalone restaurants out here, please? Thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, with this battle, Zaxby's versus Popeyes, this is going to be a long episode at this rate. It's Zaxby's, right? I hate Popeyes. Last time I had Popeyes, first off, I said I'm a former fast food manager. Your chicken shouldn't taste like fish. You should be cooking that shrimp in its own oil by itself in its own fryer, and the chicken should be nowhere near it. That's a health code violation. But every time I go to Popeyes, I get the same taste. The chicken tastes like the shrimp, and it's all burnt. Do y'all change your oil? Come on now, Popeyes. It's Zaxby's all day. Zaxby's all day. We move up to Burger King and Wendy's. There's no competition. Burger King is ass, dog. Another overrated place. Everyone's coming like, oh, Burger King's great. Nah, it was great in 2005. It's not great anymore. Burger King is ass, dude. We're not even going to sit here and talk about this because we'll discuss Wendy's when we break it down the next round. But there's no arguing with Burger King. Then we get Panda and McDonald's. So here's my question. Panda Express, without a doubt, is my favorite of the bunch on this list. Here's the problem. I think they get knocked down a little bit when you're going against the OG of the business. But second, I can go to Red Dragon or, you know, generic name Chinese restaurant, get the same food, probably get more of it in terms of the helping size for way less. Way less. And so Panda Express, I love you. Your food is great, dude. I don't necessarily consider you fast food. And I think with your market, with the market you're in with Chinese food, I can go get, you know, the local hot spot next to the Food Lion. Because if you live in the Southeast, you understand what I just said. If there's a Food Lion, there's probably a dollar store and there's probably a Chinese store or Chinese restaurant in the same shopping center. Right. But yeah, I can't choose Panda here. It's got to go McDonald's. It's got to go McDonald's. Let's go down to the other side. We'll start on the bottom. Five Guys versus Taco Bell. Taco Bell is life-saving food. What I mean by that, they're open. Most of them are open to like 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you, you know, I don't participate in those activities, but if you are and you got the munchies, I just get the munchies just because I'm a big bet. And then they're going against Five Guys. Taco Bell is great. But then you're going against Five Guys. Fuck Five Guys. Fuck. First off, pause. Whoa, no Diddy. Five Guys, just get out of here. You're overpriced. You don't have like measurements in terms of how you do your fries, right? The fact that I have to buy the burger and there's no combo. I got to buy the burger and then the fries and then the drink separate. And then maybe I want a milkshake. And then now I got to take a loan out to get lunch. You know, there's a certain things in terms of like fast food experience that matter. Cost is one of them. I think Five Guys, I don't know. I think you have to ask for individual bags of peanuts now because of these fucking allergies for these weak ass kids. But Taco Bell without a doubt over Five Guys. I don't find the appeal of Five Guys. Culver's versus Jersey Mike's is tough because I think these are like elite of the elite. Now I have previous experience at Culver's in terms of working the restaurant, and let me tell you something, that shit is great. Great culture in terms of working. Now Jersey Mike's is good. I don't know if it beats Culver's though, because again, I think for like the market Jersey Mike's is in, if I wanted a great like sub, and Wavy D will probably agree with me, just go to your deli. It might even be cheap, like a local deli. Like I don't have a lot in this area in the Southeast, but there's a place right up the road. It's actually right next to Jersey Mike's, or in the same area, maybe about a half mile between the two. There's a local place, and their cheesesteak is fantastic. Right, I haven't had anything else. It's the only thing I had on the menu. But it was great. I just feel like go to a local sub shop and you could probably get a better sub. But Jersey Mike's is the best in this market. Nothing's beating Culver's, though. Nothing at all is beating Culver's. At least in this matchup. Like, it's going to be tough beat. It's going to be tough for the rest of the winners, you know, for Taco Bell to beat Culver's, right? Culver's is just, like, the best burger, right? And when I say that shit is fresh, like, we don't put your patty on the grill until you order that bitch, right? You can pull up to the window. Hey, welcome to Culver's. What can I get started for you today, right? And then you could be like, oh, I want a Culver's bacon double deluxe, right? And at that point, the kitchen's like, I get two patties down. But at the same time, I got, right, we're probably dropping like 10 at a time, but it's because we just got five orders, right? Or whatever, right? And so Culver, that shit fresh as fresh. You know, a lot of fast food places, like if you watch McDonald's, they'll drop like a whole bag of fries, and that's because they go through them quickly. But like Culver's, it's like half a bag of fries at a time. Like your fries come up to order, your cheese bites go down as soon as you order them, right? There's a I like Culver's drive through method. Instead of just having you wait at the window, you should fully expect to be pulled, and I like that method, right? Culver's is just, as an experience, like, it's just wonderful. Like, I'm willing to wait. I'm sure a lot of people are willing to wait 5 minutes for their food to cook fresh to get it to the door, right? Now, I've about made the same mistake as well. It's not ice cream. It's custard. There's a difference. I don't remember the difference, but they really, 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 really emphasize that in training. There is a difference. It is not ice cream. It is custard. It's also why it melts quicker. I think ice cream has to be like frozen solid before served for it to be considered ice cream. Culver's makes custard, not ice cream. Just clear definitional, completely different things. It's like going to Italy asking for ice cream. It's not ice cream. It's gelato, right? Very different things, right? The custard at Culver's, the best in the fast food game. Better than the Frosty, better than anything McDonald's has, right? Their machines, Culver's machines are always running, never broken, right? They don't clean them. You know, the reason with McDonald's that it's broken is that it's, you know, they're cleaning it. And they choose the most inopportune times to clean it, or they just cleaned it so they don't want to dirty it again, right? Culver's don't do that. Culver's don't turn the machine off to clean it until the restaurant's closed. Because that thing is pumping out custard all day long. I never worked the custard station. That's actually the worst station for me. I worked the grill, right? If you ever went to the Culver's here in North Carolina, best bet that I was on the grill slinging patties for you. Man, I was a beast at it, right? It took me about 2 weeks to get a hang of how to do it. But once I learned how to do it, bro, I was the best on the grill. The best. Anyway, move up. Chipotle versus KFC. Like, this is not even a competition to me. I hate KFC. KFC is the worst chicken, right? KFC is the worst chicken I've ever eaten in my life, right? They don't do anything good. I would put Bojangles on top of it, Church's on top of it. I don't like Popeyes. I'll also give you this. I'll give KFC this. I'm not a big fan of bone-in chicken. Right, what Bojangles and Church, right? What, or well, not Churches, but what Bojangles has that really blesses my soul and puts them above KFC is that they have biscuits and like breakfast biscuits. Like, it's breakfast 24/7. When that restaurant's open, you can get biscuits whenever you want, like breakfast, right? But they're chicken strips. I'm a chicken strip person. I'm not a big fan of bone-in chicken, unless it's like chicken wings, right? I'm not a big fan of like, hey, let me get a 3-piece, 2 breasts, 1 leg, blah, 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 all dark meat. I'm not a big fan of that. First off, you can't eat that in the car. It's not compatible. But also, you got like choking hazards. I got to worry about like sucking bones and no diddy. But, you know, so, you know, I'm just not a big fan of bone-in chicken, right? And so KFC, like, they don't offer anything outside of that that's really all that good. Right. And their chicken's not even all that good anyway. So Bojangles for me, hey, let me get the 5-piece Supreme combo, both sauce, both size fry, large tier one. And I'm out the door. Right. And we have a great experience. Right. Chipotle, though, there's so much hate for Chipotle. I know it's basic white people food. But I just had Chipotle yesterday, dog. Chipotle is great. My, in terms of its like marketplace, its market share with like Moe's, what's it got? It's got Qdoba, Cava is a newer one that's sort of like more vegan friendly. Chipotle beats them all, hands down, without a doubt. The only place I would go to get a burrito other than Chipotle is a local restaurant here in North Carolina called Go Burrito. It's not fast food. It's like a bar. You can go there, order drinks, get margaritas if you go in person. And their burritos are better. But Chipotle is the best to me. Chipotle is great. I know a lot of people are going to hate me for that pick. Chipotle is literally my life. Let me get up to the final matchup. Chick-fil-A versus Cookout. Now, I've already talked about Chick-fil-A. I don't think it does anything great. It's not the top of its industry. It's overrated. Right, y'all overrate the fuck out of Chick-fil-A. It's mid chicken. It's like B-tier chicken. Now let me talk to you about Cookout. You know, I mentioned with Taco Bell that late night you want food, go get it. Go get Taco Bell, right? Well, Cookout's open till like 3 a.m. Now y'all don't know about Cookout unless you live in North Carolina. And I know Southern Virginia has a Cookout. I don't know if they've expanded past. I know South Carolina's got it. I don't think they've expanded farther than that. Right? I don't think they've expanded past like North Carolina, South Carolina, and Southern Virginia. I'm actually looking that up because I wanna hook you guys up. This is a life-changing experience, right? I've come up with a phrase. When you're in doubt, you don't know what you want to eat, go to Cookout. When in doubt, Cookout. Do they not have a location finder? Yeah. Yeah, bro, you're literally, we're talking, I don't even think they're all over the state of North Carolina. Like if you're not in North Carolina, you don't have Cookout. Let's just put it there. Come visit my state. Don't say we're full. You can't move here. We're full. Go back to where you came from. Right? But come visit North Carolina. Find a reason. Hey, say, hey, we too deep. Let's chop it up. We can go to Cookout. Let me tell you the ropes, man. I've been ordering the same thing from Cookout, the same order for like 10 years. Now the prices have gone up, but Cookout's great. Burgers, fries. You want a corn dog as a side? You can get it at Cookout. You want chicken strips as a side item? You can get it at Cookout. You want, you know, let me just tell you my order. Hey, yeah, let me get that big double burger, everything, no onion, add bacon and cheese. Let me get a Cajun fries. Let me get a bacon ranch wrap and a huge cheer wine light on the ice. Let me also get two chicken quesadillas and a peanut butter milkshake. And then pull up to that window. It's like $15. Right? Same order for the last 10 years. Ain't changed nothing about it. That's how good this food is. Their milkshakes, don't think you sucking them through a straw, no diddy. Go ahead and get that spoon they give you. These things thick with three C's. Thick. Maybe the best, but this is ice cream, right? This isn't custard, right? Different, right? Y'all know it's going to be Cookout here, right? And we'll stay on this side of the bracket, Cookout versus Chipotle. These are some of my now we're getting down to, on this list, outside of Subway, the remaining eight are my go-to restaurants. Hey, where do you want to eat fast food? These are my go-to restaurants outside of Subway. If Subway would have been replaced with, like, Jimmy John's, then we would have a great top eight. This is a decent top eight for me, right? Let's just go ahead and go through this. Look, I love Chipotle, but I'm never really in the mood for Chipotle. Plus, Chipotle really doesn't sit well on my stomach. I need a bathroom nearby because within the next 2 minutes after I have Chipotle, it's game time. Cookout, though, nothing's, I'm just going to be honest, I'm biased, and it may be the North Carolina bias, but it's going to be a tough out to get Cookout out of this game, right? Taco Bell or Culver's? See, this one's tough because I got a special love for Taco Bell. But it's Culver's, dude. We'll put Culver's over there. I've done enough talking on Subway. We don't need to discuss that. Zaxby's beats it without a doubt. I'm not a bit, you know, in this era, you got to be real, real, real good to beat something like that, right? Now, I haven't said anything about Wendy's up to this point just because its first matchup was as Burger King. Wendy's is really good if you can get it fresh. And if you can get there when there's no line, right? It's S tier and making you wait. Because if you may be three cars in, there may be three cars in that drive thru. You may be the third car, but you're going to be waiting for about 25 minutes. And let me tell you also a little known thing about Wendy's here, right? Nothing's ever working right at a Wendy's, right? Nothing's 100% accurate, right? The floors are sticky. That drink machine, like I went to a Wendy's one time and that, The freestyle machine was completely empty. Now, there's two things that happens, right? As someone who's a fast food manager who knows how to look for things, I've worked on these freestyle machines a lot. So there's two things. Either A, all your syrup in the machine is empty, or B, you're out of the way those machines work, there's a big box of high fructose corn syrup in the back that needs to be hooked up to the line, and that may be empty. If that's empty, it doesn't pump any of the sodas out. Right? and for everything to be empty, your machine's either broken or you're out of syrup and y'all just lazy and you haven't changed it. I will change that shit for you. That was one of my favorite parts of the job. I'll do that. Like, I even offered. I was like, hey, I know I don't work here, and I know you're probably going to say no, but I'll change all your syrups out if you need me to. I know how to do it. And they're like, no, we got it. I was like, okay, well, it's empty. I want Coke. Can you give me a Coke back there? Sure, okay, right? But Wendy's burgers are great. Their buns are fantastic. I don't really eat breakfast, but, like, I recently tried Wendy's breakfast, and whew, that stuff is banging. Wendy's is up there, but now you're going against the OG in this game. Same little market, right? And it's McDonald's. And I don't think Wendy's can beat McDonald's. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. So look at our final four. We got Culver's. We got McDonald's. We got Cookout. We got Zaxby's. And I know you guys are going to say, well, oh, it's great. The two you put in there. Right now, let me just straight up say something. I just said it's going to be hard to beat McDonald's. Zaxby's doesn't beat McDonald's to me. Here's why. The Zaxby's be slipping sometimes, right? When I go to McDonald's, I know what experience I'm going to get. It's probably going to be, you know, if you can catch a McDonald's fresh, fantastic. The best food you'll ever eat. But 90% of the time, they're probably understaffed. You're probably going to get somewhat cold fries. They may pull you, like, you know the sort of experience you're going to get with McDonald's, and you just sort of embrace it, right? Because it's the experience. McDonald's is an OG of this game, right? I also think, like, you know, when it comes down to what I like to eat, McDonald's is for me. McDonald's is my thing, right? Culver's versus Cookout. These are practically the same restaurant. They do burgers. They're known for their burgers. They're known for their version of creamy dessert, whether it's ice cream or custard, right? Now, Culver's, their chicken and all of that, right? For as much freshness that they put in their fish and their beef, let me just tell you a little inside secret. That chicken's frozen. It's no different than a chicken patty you'll get at any of the big, you know, at the Wendy's, or it's frozen. They put it in the fryer when it comes to order. Right, which is a little disappointing to me because, like, I came from Zaxby's where we hand-breaded everything, right? And so that kind of disappointed me. As much freshness that they put in the burgers, and as much freshness as they hand-batter that fish, to not have a breading station for the chicken, it's crazy, right? But Cookout, let me just tell you about Cookout. You know the experience you're going to get at Cookout. It's ghetto food, dude. Like, no doubt, no lie. Like, the main proponent that everyone here in North Carolina used to love about Cookout was you can go get a Cookout tray. And let me get that big double burger tray. No onion, everything else. Add coleslaw. You know what? Get it yourself. A lot of people here get it what we call cheddar style, which is cheddar cheese, grilled onions. I don't like cheddar style because of grilled onions, but and I'm just to add everything. But I'm not an onion fan in general, so take the onions off. Add bacon, add cheese, right? You can get that tray, which is that entree. You get two sides, and the side, you want hush puppies, you can get them. You want a corn dog, you can get them. You want fries, I would recommend Cajun because the normal fries are kind of ass. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. Let me get that Cajun seasoning just takes it all the way up to a top level side dish, right? You want what we call a walking taco, and I know y'all know what walking tacos are, right? We got it. Some of them do, not all of them. But we got it, right? You'll just get a bag of Doritos. They'll put some ground taco meat over it with some sour cream jalapenos in it. There you go. I don't know how you eat that in the car. Now, see, that's also what I look for. What can I eat in the car? That's great fast food. And that's why Cookout beats Culver's. And I know you are going to say it's biased, right? Now we're down to the OG in the game, McDonald's, versus Cookout. And Cookout, if you there, these milkshakes are fantastic, dog. The best milkshake in the game, in my opinion, right? And for that factor alone, that their ice cream machine never is broken, always open, I can go get a milkshake at 2 in the morning if I want it, right? Y'all ever be hungry, you know, on a weekend at 1 in the morning and just go, you want to go to a place? Most places are closed. Cookout's not. When in doubt, Cookout. bruh, y'all need to come to North Carolina. And this is bias. I know 100%. But Cookout's my champion. I could, and I've done this before. When I worked at Zaxby's, I used to work the closing shift. I didn't leave the restaurant till 11, 12 o'clock every night. I didn't want to, first of all, I couldn't order food once the shit was, once the fryers were down. I only like my food fresh. I'm not taking the waste home. Wasn't allowed to take the waste home. He had to count it and throw it away. Right. So I would get off work. I would drive home, and the exit before where my house is, excuse me, is a Cookout. I would go to Cookout 5 days a week for dinner when I closed. Every single night I would go to Cookout. I could eat Cookout every single day if I had the money for it. It's a little bit more expensive. Those trays used to be $5. You can get a whole meal, entree, two sides, and a drink. I always upsize my drink to huge because, like I said, I'm a big bag. So mine was a little bit more than $5. But y'all, and then the milkshake used to be like $2. And the prices, inflation sucks for everybody, right? Cookout's the greatest thing to me, right? I need y'all to come to North Carolina, right? I need y'all to, now, let's just, if you ask the question, if I didn't replace them, right? If I just did Whataburger and In-N-Out, well, they don't get past the first round, which means Chick-fil-A takes this spot. Chipotle beats Chick-fil-A. Culver's beats Chipotle, right? And then if this was In-N-Out, Popeyes beats Subway. McDonald's beats Popeyes. So we would have McDonald's versus Culver's, and Culver's would win, right? So if that's what you want, then that's how we would get it. But I'm telling you, just for my list, I had to replace those things I hadn't tried, to be fair. And I replaced it with my favorite restaurant out there, which is the Cookout. So now that we've done basically a whole episode on this, we still got a lot more to talk about. This is going to be a long episode. I do apologize for that. Let's get into the actual topic at hand, which is let's talk some sports real quick. Jake Paul had this fight. We talked about this a little bit on Tuesday. Jake Paul had this fight, and yeah, I told you what was going to happen. I told you what was going to happen. It was going to go the full round, all eight rounds, somebody, right? I didn't think it would be, you know, I said split draw because I figured that they would try to make Tyson look good. Where one judge would, but see, Tyson, after that third round, Tyson really didn't give him anything to judge great on, right? And so they had to give the win to Jake. But, you know, Tyson came out swinging, and I'm 100% certain that Jake Paul said, hey, man, if you want to get paid, you got to stop swinging. You got to just go through this, right? I told you, y'all, it's fucking Jake Paul. You actually think this dude was going to get in a ring with a Stone Cold killer and tell him he can go full speed? Mike Tyson needed money. That's all this. I think he got paid $20 million for this. So let me tell you what Jake Paul is. Jake Paul is the sport of boxing. Without Jake Paul, boxing is not popular. It was dying before Jake Paul got there. He brought eyes to it. Him, KSI, Logan, all of them, and they started doing like that celebrity YouTube boxing stuff where like the YouTubers would fight each other. And that brought eyes to the sport. And Jake took it a little bit serious. He challenged real fighters to semi-staged matches where, like, hey, let me win, or right? And I think Jake legitimately started challenging people. He took a loss and a fight or two. I'm not big on all of his history. I'm not big on boxing. But what I do know is Jake Paul wasn't lying in his post-match interview when he said boxing needs him. Like, so my consensus, my thesis is this: boxing needs Jake Paul more than Jake Paul needs boxing. Boxing needs Jake Paul more than Jake Paul needs boxing. right? Jake Paul can do the same thing in, that he did in YouTube and making music and boxing. He could go to WWE tomorrow and do the same thing. He's a I don't like using this term because it's overused, but he is a grifter, right? Anywhere he can make money, he's going to make it. And he's going to find ways to do it. He brings money to the sport, right? He brings recognition to people like Amanda Serrano. So I know a lot of people were like, well, she got screwed, which he did. That was the the judges are the reason I'm not big in boxing, right? Because it's kind of crazy how they score that match, right? But that match doesn't get anywhere near the amount of attention if it wasn't for Jake Paul. And now you got a group of fans, even boxing fans who may not pay that much attention to it, right, who watched Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson and was introduced to Amanda Serrano. And she got bigger fan base. She seemed very appreciative of that opportunity, right? So Jake Paul is the sport of boxing. If he were to leave boxing, the sport goes back to being completely irrelevant, running its events that most people don't care about, and there's no recognition. He brings money. He brings Netflix. He brings big money fights. He brings eyes to the sport just because people want to see Jake Paul get knocked out, right? But that's not happening. Jake Paul's not fighting anyone that's going to legitimately hurt him. That's just – he's just not going to. That if he ruins – if he dies or gets injured, that ruins the money. That ruins the money flow, right? So boxing's not going to allow that to happen, right? It's all a giant. We're just going to leech off of each other. And I think that's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. As much shit talk that Jake Paul gets, I like the kid, man. I know he's not the greatest, like, personality, but he's playing a heel. That's what him and Logan do best, is playing the heel character, right? It's all a gimmick. It's all a gimmick. And it makes him money, and he does a good job at it, right? If y'all don't see that in Jake Paul, you don't see that in this fight, then if y'all thought this was going to be legitimate, that's on you for being disappointed. I got exactly what I walked in coming to. I just didn't like that I had to spend, you know, an hour and a half after the Serrano match to get this damn fight, right? I don't understand boxing and why the intermissions are so long, right? But that's all I really got to talk about with Jake Paul. Let's go to my NFL predictions, and then we'll get to what everyone came here for, and that's the wrestling content. All right, so week 12. So I don't pick Thursday nights because it's Friday. I did pick the Steelers. I'll just be honest with you. I did pick the Steelers, and I was wrong. So this is already starting out to be a great week. Vikings over the Bears, Lions over the Colts, Dolphins over the Patriots, Buccaneers over the Giants, the Commies over the Cowboys, the Chiefs over the Panthers, Texans over the Titans, Broncos over the Raiders, Niners over the Packers. Do I like that pick? You know, I'm going to change it on the fly. I'm picking the Packers. Packers over the Niners, Seahawks over the Cardinals, Eagles over the Rams, Ravens over the Chargers. Those are my NFL picks. I don't. That's quite literally how I pick football. I don't think too hard. As far as matchups, Sunday night's gonna be awful. Eagles and the Rams. Monday night might be a decent game. The Chargers, Ravens. As far as what I'll probably be watching this Sunday, the early slate. When I'm not being disappointed by the Patriots, I'll probably have on the Commanders game, to be honest with you. I'm originally from that area, so I don't like the Washington sports teams, but I'm happy that the Commanders are actually doing good for once. There's not really a good game on. The afternoon slate got the Niners-Packers. I'll probably be watching that. But the 1 o'clock games don't really have anything good outside of Cowboys and Manders. Excuse me. The Bears-Vikings might be a decent game. So we got a couple that are good. All right. Let's move forward into the wrestling content. First, let's just go ahead and as I always do on the Friday show, the Thirsty Tuesday results are in. And moving on, it was not a great week for me and my team. I kind of figured this would happen on this side of the bracket, but that's fine. Here's what I do know happened. Haley Steinfeld moved forward. That's a check mark for me. That's as good as it gets, though, right? Haley Steinfeld moves on. Zendaya is eliminated. Scarlett Johansson, as I figured would happen, beat Alona Meyer. Vanessa Hudgens beat Bebe Rexha, as I figured would happen. My surprise of the week was Jennifer Lawrence beating Jennifer Lopez. I don't understand what's going on in this Discord. What do y'all see in Jennifer Lawrence? I don't get it. I don't get it. I just don't, right? I don't get it at all. But with that being said, we are now in our final eight on this tournament. I'll have the new bracket out as soon as I can. But so next week will be the final eight. We'll have all four of those matchups. It'll be Haley Welsh on my team versus Haley Steinfeld on my team. You'll have Wavy D in team Vanessa Hudgens versus Livy Dunn from my team. So that side, I'm 3-1. So I'm going to win that side of the bracket more than likely. Right. On the other side of the bracket, though, completely different story. Completely different story. It's completely run by Wavy D. We'll have Margot Robbie versus Jennifer Lawrence and Scarlett Johansson versus Ruby Rose. So I have 1, 2, 3 left. He has 5 left. When we get to the final four, hopefully it's 2v2. And we're going to hopefully come down to a me and Wavy D finals. That would be fantastic, right? That would be fantastic how that would work out, right? But now let's get into the wrestling conversation. I got a couple things I want to talk about. So the name of this is Hindsight is 2020. That's the name of the episode, right? Hindsight is 2020. So the first two things of WWE conversation that I want to have is looking back at two things that I've said in hindsight to show that I was right about these things, that the rest of the wrestling audience, whether you're casual or hardcore, you were wrong in certain areas. And I told you these that you were wrong, and y'all probably should listen to my opinion on this thing, right? Not saying that I'm the greatest wrestling mind out there, but so the first of this is I'm going to call it, and this is what's on the actual thumbnail, the Why It 6, WHYATT 6. And I spell it that way because I'm going to ask the same question that I asked on Tuesday. Who really benefited from the Why It 6 returning? And I'm going to answer that with a little bit more. I didn't really give a lot of analysis on Tuesday. I'm going to do a cost-benefit analysis on this return. And the other one is Solo Sikoa. So let's start with Solo. This one's a little easier. At the end of last year, around this time last year, at the end of the year award ceremony for the Slap and Meat Wrestling podcast last year, I think it's the second to last episode of the year last year. Of season 2, it was me, Wavy D, Junkyard James, and K-Dog, Cody. We were, as we typically do, by the way, we're going to do that again December 17th. Going to be the last official episode of the year for the Slap and Meat Wrestling podcast, December 17th. We'll pick right back up at the beginning of the year. We'll actually pick up January the 7th. With a new episode then. That's the first official Tuesday, I believe, of the calendar year 2025. Let me verify that. Yeah. So, yeah. So, this December 17th will be the last episode we do. We'll have Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve off, the 24th and the 31st. And then the week after that, the 7th, we will pick back up, just so you're aware, right? But on that award show episode, I always do it, and I've done it season one. I did it for season two, and I'm going to do it again for season three. Three men, three women to look forward to. And I told you guys that 2024 was going to be the year of Solo Sikoa. And I was laughed at. He doesn't have any wins. All he does is lose, right? Even as far as, like, at the start of him becoming this new tribal chief after Mania, people weren't taking him seriously. And I said, guys, there's a reason people aren't taking him seriously. And it's the booking that WWE completely botched this takeover, that it should have been Solo, not The Undertaker, who cost Roman Reigns the championship, right? We shouldn't have had this nostalgia shit that happened, right? It should have just been Solo came out to attack, or to what we assume attack Cody, and instead gives the thumb to Roman Reigns. And that should have been what gave Cody the title and started this year-long feud heading towards War Games of Solo and Roman, where Solo and Roman fight in the first match and you're introduced to Tama Tonga. They get a second match, you're introduced to Tangaloa. They get a third match, you're introduced to Jacob Fatu. Now you have Fatu and Roman have some battles, right? This all doesn't have to be pay-per-view after pay-per-view. This could be, you know, Backlash, SummerSlam, Crown Jewel, and then you get the War Games as Roman Reigns is building back up his team to try to defend against these guys, right? That's how this should have been built. WWE just botched all of that. And then ultimately what you get at the end of that is, at the end of War Games, The Rock comes out as the puppet behind Solo Sikoa, and that leads to Roman versus Rock, which they could still do that part of the story, right? But I told you, Solo was going to be it. But the problem is after Mania, Roman took some time off, and that really hurt Solo. But notice, as soon as Solo and Roman got on the screen together, Roman just has this aura in him that just accelerates other people, right? But this isn't just me being smart. Like, I don't have any secret knowledge. If you guys understood how WWE was booking this, you could have realized that Solo was the next one to grow and be pushed, right? Because they did it with Jay. They did it with Sammy. They did it a little bit with Jay, right? It was just section after section. And 2024 was going to be Solo, right? And I always thought, guys, go back to last season. How did I say the Bloodline story? If it was going to end, it should have been Solo that ended it, and he becomes Tribal Chief. Right? That you don't end the story, you end the reign. Now, I still think Solo should have been involved in the breaking of the actual reign of Roman Reigns, of the 1,000-plus-day reign, right? I think Solo should have won the title. That immediately puts him into the spotlight. I think it would have been a better result than Cody, just personally. But even with Cody winning it, you could have had Solo giving him the assist by being the one that turned, rather than bringing, you know, all of the Cena and Undertaker and all that bullshit that really did absolutely nothing for the story. It was great for certain casual fans because it was like a nostalgia moment. Oh my God, what the fuck? But it doesn't really add to the story, right? And so Solo, I say all of that to remind you that I said this for the last year, this was going to be the year of Solo Sikoa. And my take on this now is Solo Sikoa is the better tribal chief. I like Roman Reigns. He's very good. But see, Roman Reigns' reign as tribal chief wasn't to benefit anyone but himself. Right? Now, I know I've used the whole point of, well, he's gotten all these people. in character, that was not his goal. That was just the result of what his ultimate goal was, which was, I want to remain in power. I want to be acknowledged by the fans. I've done a whole episode already, I think in season two, of the story of Roman Reigns. How you have this guy who comes in, he's part of the Shield, he's sort of in the background, he just has to do the ooh-ah, right? And then hit the Superman punch. He doesn't really have to do much, right? That group, you know, Seth Rollins chooses his own path. That breaks that group up. When Seth Rollins leaves, that tore the Shield apart, right? Dean went to go do his own thing. Roman was then inserted by WWE as the face of the company and were pushed in prominent parts. I don't think he was ready for. And because of that, in character, the fans did not react to him very well. And he became super self-conscious. He doubted himself. Was he meant for this business? Right? And, you know, you take so much of that that he disappears, and then he comes back pissed off. Right? You sort of get this, you know, I'm the big guy. Look at all these main events that I have at WrestleMania. Look at all these titles that I have. Right, if we're in kayfabe, like, he should be getting cheered. And so he comes back and says, you're going to acknowledge me. All he ever has wanted in his career, right? If you look in the kayfabe story of Roman Reigns, the character, all he's ever wanted was the acknowledgement of the fan base, right? And so that's all he's cared about. He wanted the title, and he wanted the fans' acknowledgement. He could care less about family, right? Whereas Solo, as a tribal chief, is solely about making sure that the family gets improved behind him, right? 100%. Solo Sikoa is the better tribal chief when it comes to running the actual tribe, right? He wants to make sure Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa are right beside him in terms of having gold, right? And he wants Jacob to have, right? I don't understand why we don't have a situation where the bloodline, the new bloodline, you got Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa as tag champions, right? And Solo's in his own battle for in quest of keeping the Uofala, but why is Jacob not going after LA Knight's title? Jacob should be U.S. champion, right? The entire, right? Because that increases the narrative in the storytelling of Solo Sikoa. He's the only one without gold, but he has the tribal chief name, and as a man that cares about the family and the tribe, everyone else has grown in the year that they've been in the business of WWE. They have gold, and they have gold on. We're going to protect the gold, and we're going to protect the family. Whereas Roman could care less about Jay and Jimmy and their championships. He could care less if Sammy had a title, right? He could care less if Solo had a title. Solo is a better leader. He's a better general, right? He's in terms of how he does his interference, right? It's just full-blown attack, right? And he gets his hands dirty, right? Roman sort of plays the chicken shit. Now, both are great, right? But Roman was just not a good tribal chief, right? Solo's the better tribal chief. Now let's talk about the why at six. Who benefited? Let's do a cost-benefit analysis. In business, when you try to make a decision, whether you know it or not, and you don't even have to own a business to do this, when you are looking at pros and con lists, right? If you're trying to buy a house or buy a car, and right, that's a cost-benefit analysis. When you're trying to decide what drink you want, there's a cost-benefit analysis going on. It's simply just looking at the cost of doing something versus the benefit of doing that thing. Is the cost worth the benefit, right? That's essentially all the cost-benefit analysis is. So I want to look at the cost-benefit analysis of returning the Wyatt 6 from the hindsight position, and hindsight's always 20/20. All right, so to do that, we have to go back to May, King of the Ring, because they returned in June following that event, right? So we have to look at what we had going on before the Wyatt 6 came back and look at what was taken from us as a fan base. we had the greatest story of the spring in Otis and Chad Gable being built, looking like it was going to climax and end at SummerSlam with Otis defeating Chad Gable for the Intercontinental Championship. Right? That looked like what we were going to get. At that point in time, that's what everyone was predicting. That's what everyone wanted. We were going to get this big Otis moment where he would finally get some gold. I think he's held the tag titles in NXT a couple times and the tag titles on the main roster. But like singles gold for Otis, where he got the big where he finally turned, had enough of Otis, of Gable, and turned on him. And right? But to do that, you needed Chad Gable to beat Sami Zayn at King of the Ring, right? I believe that's where that match took place. Am I correct? And it didn't happen. And then the next thing we know, Chad Gable's laying murked in the locker room, and he's in the story with the Wyatt Six. So what did that cost us? Well, it cost us the Chad Gable IC run. It cost us the story of the summer and halted all momentum for Otis and Alpha Academy to where they're hardly ever used on TV anymore, right? I think it cost us a better run of American Made and the Creeds and everything that's going on with that. And so the cost of returning the Wyatt Six was the story of the spring having the correct ending. And quite honestly, a title run from Otis and putting over Otis, Tozawa, and Maxine. Right? Because what you could have done is you could have had Otis beat Gable at SummerSlam, and then the fall story would have just been the creation of American Made and getting them over American Alpha. And you could have done something where, you know, Otis is now the leader of American Alpha, but he needs like a legitimate tag team. And so he has to go recruit a tag team because Tozawa's the comedy gimmick, right? And he's the leader, but he needs, right? So he goes to the only place he knows he can go, which is Andre Chase University. And he brings up Riley Osborne and Duke Hudson. And that could be the call up because, you know, and, you know, if you've watched NXT, you notice that, you know, Andre Chase just lost the match, which means the university has to break up, right? I don't know how I feel about that. That's a different whole other topic. I think I know where it's going, but I don't want to spoil that for anybody. I want you guys to have fun in figuring that out yourself. You know, I think Chase, you could have been the feeding ground for the new Alpha Academy, right? So you bring up Thea Hale and Andre, not Andre Chase, because he's, but you bring up Duke Hudson and Riley Osborne and Thea Hale up to the main roster. You can run Maxine and Thea as a tag team, trying to get tag team gold. You can run Otis as IC champion, Duke and Riley as the tag team, trying to get their own tag team gold, and you can have Tozawa just running around being comedy gold, like R-Truth is. And you could have built a new faction, and then at the same time, Gable has American Made with the Creeds and Ivy Nile, and you could build, and that could have built an actual War Games match, right? You know, this whole idea of, this, you know, or you, this could build just some other match that blows off somewhere else, right? But I'm just saying, like, that cost of stopping the momentum of that story, that's the main cost, and everything that came out of that, that's the main cost. So now you look at that cost, now you look at what was the benefit of bringing them back? Is there a benefit in the story? Because I know there's a lot of benefits. Taylor gets to finish the story of his brother, the fans get to relive Bray, and all of that corny shit. That doesn't equal any business benefit. There's no benefit to bringing them back. No one gets over. They haven't gotten themselves over. Alpha Academy surely ain't over. American Made loses every time they're on TV. and Cross and Miz, I don't know what the fuck's going on with it. No one gets over with this. So when you do a cost benefit analysis of this faction, the only way you could say this is beneficial is if you're a super fan of the Wyatts and you get to have emotional lovey-dovey feelings about the Wyatt Six, while the rest of us who look at this and say, well, this doesn't make any business sense, and the business loses, you know, fans lose interest in the story. Vince Russo has stated, you know, and I know a lot of people don't like Vince Russo, or, you know, casual fans may not know who he is. But Vince Russo has basically stated he's lost interest in it. I want to see, I had his quote pulled up. I should have screenshotted it because I knew Twitter does this when you're not on the platform for a while. It refreshes. Let me see if I can pull up. It doesn't really matter what he said about it, but he said he lost interest in it. I lost interest in it back in June. And so we've just been giving another 6 months of nothing. And exactly what I told you, hindsight is 2020, but I was just seeing in the future, right? I saw in the past what you guys would eventually see. And sometimes it just takes time for people to understand certain things. And like, I'm telling you, man, like, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, on something. I'm not always right on everything, but on this one, I kind of figured I knew what I was talking about. Because as I said on Tuesday, with the Wyatt Six, I said, a lot of people at the beginning said, as long as they don't take this thing supernatural, it's going to be fine. And what was my rebuke to it? They have to be, my saying against that was that they have to be supernatural for the gimmick to make any sense. And once it goes supernatural, people are going to lose interest in it. Right? When you do a cost-benefit analysis of the Wyatt Six, you realize that this thing should have been canned 6 months ago. This should have never even hit the screen. There's way more cost to debuting them than any benefit they got out of it. They made a little merch money, probably. But as far as like story development and you know, if I'm Otis, I'm pissed. I'll be honest with you. Because I was having the run of my life, probably about to get singles gold. And that momentum gets halted. And that opportunity probably doesn't come back again. Right? So now that we talked about WWE, I want to flip companies. I want to jump over to AEW. I'm going to praise them for a second here. Right, but don't worry, there's some critique at the end of this. And this is how we'll end the show with talking about AEW. So they've announced their quarter one shows, or at least their early of 2025 shows, January, February. And there's some recognition that they're running some smaller arenas, some theaters, and a casual fan would look at that and say, well, that doesn't that mean that shouldn't they be concerned? Why are their fans happy about this? And me playing devil's advocate, sort of mediating between the hardcores and the casuals. I want to say this. This is a good thing in the short term. If you look at it just in the here and the now, this is a good thing for AEW because the number one critique of their program is, well, the show looks empty because there's no one in the arenas because they're renting out 10, 12, 14,000 seat arenas and only putting 3,000 people in them. Well, if they start to rent out 3, 4, 5,000 seat arenas and can fill them up and the arena looks full, that changes the narrative. A sellout is a sellout, right? A full arena on camera doesn't matter what the size of the crowd is. And then, but in the long term, if you take the 3,000 foot in the air view of AEW, yeah, this This doesn't look good, because if they can't set out these arenas, now you're in a situation where, like, I just want to know how from 2019 to like 2021, 2022, right? You were selling out 6 to 8 to 10,000 seat arenas. You weren't selling out stadiums by any means of the imagination, but you were getting a decent crowd audience. You were selling out buildings you were going to. You can't do that anymore. Your viewership's gone down. NXT without the glitz and the glam of Philadelphia beat you this year, right? Or beat you this week in the ratings. Without the glitz and the glam of all the ECW shit, no Bubba Ray, none of that, NXT still beat you, right? And I just, it's a good thing in the short term, right? And so there should be a little bit of happiness. Okay, they're going to get that intimate experience. The problem with that is you have to grow it. You have to do this to correct course to make the product look good. And then you have to build something to where you can build that audience back up, to where you get better viewership and better attendance. You can't just stay in the 3,000 seat arenas, right? But the problem is, and this is where we go to the last little segment, this is where the critique happens, is AEW's show has some of the corniest shit I've ever seen in my life for a wrestling program. And I lived through 2016 to 2019 WWE. I know how bad that booking is. I put out a tweet yesterday that said something along the lines of, like, the same people that hate on 2016 to 2019 WWE are the same people who will turn on AEW today and enjoy it. And the people, or whereas I think that current AEW's product, it's just as corny as anything that WWE did in 2019 or 2016 to 2019. And the immediate response from some are like, oh, but Roman Reigns was eating dog. I didn't say 2019 WWE was good. In fact, by making this tweet, I'm saying it was bad. And then I'm comparing you to bad and saying that you're just as corny as any of that stupid shit that Vince McMahon did in 2016 to 2019. Your product's corny. So some of the corniest shit I've ever seen, right? You got Costco guys walking around talking about chocolate chip cookies. You got fucking Ricochet tag teaming in an 8-man match with Will Ospreay and whoever else can do flips, and God knows who they even went against. I don't remember, right? That's corny as shit. Why are you starting, right? You got matches that make no sense. You don't really have any storyline. Mark Briscoe's hummin', whatever the fuck he says on the mic, he talks so fast you can't fucking understand him. You got a bunch of bullshit. The women's division isn't hardly ever utilized, which I thought you guys said you were going to get better at. You guys have apparently are the place where the best wrestlers wrestle, but and you have the best women's roster, apparently, but you don't ever utilize the best. I don't understand, right? Where the fuck would Baker go off to? Why is Mercedes the only one that gets TV time? I have genuine questions, right? And so like it's corny. And then the corniest of all corny is MJF. He used to be at least like he's always been cringy to me. But this like this story with Roddy Strong is like the cringe of all cringe that I've ever seen in wrestling. He pulls up in this promo on Wednesday, gets out of this car, and like I think he's in like a trailer park, and he basically was like, oh, Roddy, your mom shot your dad, and when I'm done with you, you're going to wish she shot you instead, which is a summation of that promo. Shit's corny as fuck, dude. Like, I told you guys, like, MJF's gimmick was going to run its course. And it ran its course with me in 2019 when he debuted on AEW, because I saw it the year prior in an indie show where he was the same gimmick. And he's that same gimmick today. But I've seen him be a good guy with Adam Cole. And over the last year, this start and stop booking of Adam Cole and MJF, because Adam Cole's frail as a fucking piece of paper. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's corny as shit. As much as people hate on Vince Russo and his booking, can you tell me that it doesn't feel like Vince Russo's booking AEW right now? You can't be upset that casual fans don't watch your product, right? So, like, Tony Khan goes out here and is like, oh, we're streaming. And this is actually a good thing. This is a good thing. We're streaming Dynamite and Collision live on Max. That's a good thing. But double the eyes are going to see the product now. Tony, casual wrestling fans aren't going to tune in to watch your product because you're not giving them anything to watch. People aren't watching because there's nothing for them to grasp onto and actually care about. You got to tell stories, and you don't have anything. You just got edge. You got like cringe, like deep. The same people that will hate and white knight against the Divas division sit and cheer while Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May fucking shake their titties all over the screen. Mariah goes down and sort of like licks her bat and is trying to simulate like a blowjob. None of that shit's bad. I'm a big proponent of bringing the Divas division back. But you can't also be the same group of people that shit on the Divas division when you're going to allow that on. It's corny bullshit. This is WWE. Like, Tony Khan is literally just reproducing. Like I feel like he's gone through stages in his company, right? He started and he started his company and he started strong, but then he started to try to replicate what Jim Crockett did in the 80s and what Turner and WCW did in the 90s. And I feel like he's at like the ruthless aggression era WWE moment in his company, where he's like trying to just be super ruthless aggression for no reason, right? There's certain things on the show that I like. I like Moxley in this little group. I don't like the fucking name of it. I think it's kind of corny as shit, right? You got the fucking tag champions walking around with double John chocolate cookies. the fuck, dude? Oh, we got the best black talent. We're going to put Bobby Lashley in a match against a guy named Cheeseburger. And I know Cheeseburger's an ROH legend and the indie fans love him, but Cheeseburger? You couldn't change his name to make it more televised, you know, make it look good? I laughed. Maxwell for Jacob Friedman got laughed at his promo. I saw on the internet that there were people in the arena laughing at the promo. And he's supposed to be a heel. That company's corny as shit, dude. Corny as shit. But that's all I got for y'all today. I do appreciate y'all for watching and listening to this podcast. If you're listening on podcast networks, thank you. I appreciate it. Leave us some support. The greatest way you can support is by sharing, but also by leaving a 5-star review on the podcast network that you're on. Subscribe to it. That way you can get notifications anytime a new episode is dropped. If you're watching on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. But the number one way you can help us get into the algorithm is by commenting on the video. I don't like YouTube's algorithm, just to be completely honest with you. But comments are the best way to promote this. Share it with your friends, even if it's just to comment down to say hi, comment on the video. And thank you all again. Let me know what you guys feel about my food list or any of the topics we covered today. As a reminder, if you're booking a trip this holiday season, book through our affiliate link in Expedia that supports the show, as well as if you're buying any Christmas gifts for the youngins or even for yourself through the WWE shop. We have an affiliate link as well, and that helps support the show as well. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you guys next Tuesday. Again, just a reminder, no episode next Friday. So we'll only have the Tuesday episode. But until the next time, I will see you guys later. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for watching the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. I'm We Too Deep. I'm signing off.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.